If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI News Time, 8:40 on a Thursday morning. Most interesting story of the day, in my opinion. Police accidentally recorded themselves making up charges against a man they arrested.
Oh, boy.
Happened in Connecticut. Three Connecticut police officers accused of fabricating charges against a man who was protesting DUI checkpoint police action after their conversation was captured on video. The guy had his video running. The officers were unaware that the camera they seized from Michael Picard was recording as they discussed what charges he would receive. According to the American Civil Liberties Union, the ALCU is suing the state of Connecticut on Picard's behalf. He apparently was well known to police and frequently protested around Hartford. Community members like me have a right to film government officials doing their jobs in public.
Well, you know who he is.
Yeah.
He is a guy who has been in the news quite a few times in Connecticut, in Hartford, because he protests on behalf of privacy. He's very against DUI checkpoints.
Right.
And he's very vocal about it and has said that, you know, on the news that it's unconstitutional and a waste of money. He's done public records investigations and found that for every 2 man-hours put in at a checkpoint, it yields just 1 minor traffic citation, almost always for defective equipment, you know, like a light out or
right,
something.
Right, yeah.
And so he was a well-known guy to the police. They also are aware that he is a peaceful activist.
Yeah, he's big-time free speech guy.
He's an open carry gun rights activist, and he's a privacy activist. He just doesn't want government intruding too much in his life. And so these guys were retaliating.
Yep. As an advocate for free speech, this is him, I'm deeply disappointed these police officers ignored my rights, particularly because two of the troopers involved were supervisors who should be setting an example for others. By seeking to hold these three police officers accountable, I hope I can prevent the same thing from happening to someone else.
Yeah. This happened on September 11th. It was last year.
Yeah, last 2015.
Yeah, in West Hartford. He showed up near a police checkpoint.
West Hartford.
Had a big sign that said, "Cops ahead, remain silent."
Yeah.
It was handwritten. Not what you'd call threatening stuff, but it made the police angry.
Well,
he stood on a small triangular traffic island and was standing there for an hour or an hour and a half without any problems. Then the state police officers who were working the checkpoint came over to where he was, and the first thing they did was slap a video camera out of his hand.
They said taking police's picture is illegal.
Which it isn't.
Nope.
And they thought that the camera was broken after it hit the ground.
Because they knocked it out of his hand.
And, of course, the video you were talking about, it shows that the first thing the state trooper does is walk up and with his open hand slap the camera down to the ground. He doesn't even say anything like, "Put that down," or "Please lower your camera," or "Turn that off." He just slaps it to the ground. Then he interacts with Michael as if nothing happened, as if I'm just allowed to do that, and I don't even have to tell you why. I just broke your camera, which is, according to the ACLU, a little hostile. The troopers then search Michael and theatrically announce that he has a gun, which they knew he had because he's an open carry guy.
Right.
And which he was carrying legally under Connecticut's open carry law. So
right.
they take away his gun and they go run his pistol permit. And as they're doing that, Michael picks the camera up off the pavement. It's a nice SLR that can also record video. He picks it up and tries to turn it on as one of the cops walks back over. And that's where the video starts. The cop announces that taking my picture is illegal, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Michael debates with him a little because he's knowledgeable about the law and the First Amendment, and the end result is that the trooper snatches the camera, walks away, and puts it on top of the cruiser, without realizing that it was working and recording video. So we get the three troopers at the cruiser talking about what to do.
8 minutes. They talk back and forth. We could do this. We could do this. We could do this.
Yeah, Michael's permit comes back over the computer as valid, and one of them says, oh, crap. And then one of the troopers says, we got to punch a number on this guy, which means open an investigation in the police database.
Right.
And he says, we really got to cover our, you know, rear ends.
Behind,
As I say. Then they have a very long discussion about what to charge him with, none of which appear to have any basis in fact. It plays out over 8 minutes, as you said. They talk about, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. In Connecticut, police have very clear requirements under the law to intervene and stop or prevent constitutional violations when they see them. But at no time did any of the officers pipe up and say, why don't we just give him the camera back and let him go?
What they charged him with was reckless use of a highway by a pedestrian and creating a public disturbance.
For standing on the island.
For standing on the island holding a sign that said police ahead. Nice. KBOY News Time, 8:45.
Donald Trump Jr. is set to arrive in Boise fairly soon. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Talking about this morning, three Connecticut police officers basically making up stuff against Michael Picard, a well-known guy who does a lot of complaining in the Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah, he's a protester, well-known to the police because he protests things like DUI checkpoints and illegal searches and stuff like that. And he absolutely knows what his rights are.
Right, and they arrested him for a DUI checkpoint where he held a sign saying, watch out, police ahead.
He was technically he was doing nothing illegal. He just was annoying to the police, and so they tried to figure out something for which they could arrest him. And as I said, in Connecticut, police officers have a requirement under the law to intervene and stop or prevent constitutional violations when they see other police officers committing them. But at no time did any of the three officers in this video pipe up and say, why don't we just give the guy back his camera and let him go or anything like that?
Yeah.
In the end, they decide on two criminal interactions, as you pointed out, reckless use of a highway by a pedestrian and creating a public disturbance. Now, they have a discussion.
Yeah.
They're being recorded and don't know it. They have a discussion on how to support the public disturbance charge. And the top-level supervisor explains to the other two, what we say is that multiple motorists stopped to complain about a guy waving a gun around, but a gun, not a sign, a gun.
Not a sign, a gun.
But none of them wanted to stop and make a statement.
Now, this is all being
recorded. In other words, it was complete fabrication.
Right. It's all being recorded, and the charges against Picard eventually were dismissed. Well, of course they were.
But there's more.
Yeah. Now he's suing on three claims. The suit claims that Picard's right to record was violated because the police repeatedly attempted to prevent him.
Yeah, and he slapped the camera out of his, you know, and the policeman thought he broke the camera.
Yeah, and took it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Fourth Amendment violation because the police had no probable cause. And the third is a claim of retaliation under the First Amendment.
Now, as he was going through his legal problems, because, again, they charged him with a crime, Michael Picard filed a complaint with the state police. Now, they claimed that they couldn't do their internal investigation without interviewing Michael alone without his attorney. They kept calling Michael directly on the phone, and they did that even though there were criminal charges pending and Michael had a criminal defense lawyer. His lawyer kept calling them and saying, don't you ever call my client again. You have to call and talk to me to get to him. They didn't pay attention to that. They continued to try to get Michael to come in and be interviewed without his lawyer, claiming that they couldn't do the investigation unless he gave a statement and that he had to be alone to do it.
Why did he have to be alone?
Because they didn't want his lawyer there. It was unbelievable.
Man.
It's an interaction that was recorded from start to finish on high-quality digital video. A year later, There has been zero movement on the internal affairs investigation, as far as anyone knows, which means the police haven't been charged with anything, even though all three of them were committing a crime.
And they're not sure of the employment status of the three officers involved in the stop. So, I mean, they won't tell anyone whether or not they're still policemen,
right,
which means they probably are.
Now, as a result of the police not policing themselves in a year, Picard and the ACLU of Connecticut both decided to file a lawsuit. It's based on three claims. The first claim is the violation, as you said, of his right to record. The
right.
second, the Fourth Amendment claim, the seizure of his camera without
right.
probable cause. And the third, a First Amendment retaliation claim, whether it was because he was carrying a sign criticizing the police. Because
he
was
criticizing them, though.
He was just telling people there's a checkpoint ahead because right. he doesn't believe checkpoints are constitutional. But he was recording the police. He says the police just didn't like him or all of the above. It really appears from the evidence that they completely manufactured criminal charges against him
yeah.
just to get him to go away.
And like you said, at some point during all of this, they should have gone,
yeah.
here's your camera.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Now, if he had been writing down license plate numbers with a pen and a pad,
sure.
and the troopers had taken it and slapped it out of his hand and said, "You're not allowed to do that," then I think everybody would recognize how ridiculous the situation is.
Yep.
A lot of people think it must be a law that you can't film the police. No, it's not. And if the defendants had been any other kind of state or local employee, if they had been a road crew and he had wanted to film them paving and they had forced him to stop recording, their actions wouldn't get any serious consideration by a court.
That's true.
But he was simply filming people doing their jobs on a public street. And
not
that
against
is,
the law.
And that is not against the law.
Amazing stuff. Well, let's make up something.
The interesting part, I think, was the fact that they had a frank discussion about, you know, making up some charges against him.
And it was all recorded for posterity. It's 8:56, news break. More of Idaho Talks Live, straight ahead.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses, just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, it's 9:06, Paul J. and Chris talking about the Connecticut police officers who may or may not be still
big,
employed by the state of Connecticut.
In big trouble anyway.
Yeah. Have some reaction to the story there?
Yeah, I do. And for those of you who didn't hear the story, essentially what happened is there is a guy in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
He is very well known to the police because he protests things like DUI stops and, at checkpoints, in other words, and anything that he considers to be unconstitutional and an illegal search. So he's well known for protesting, and there was a DUI checkpoint set up. He parked somewhere down the road from that and went out onto the island in the middle of the freeway and was holding up a sign that said, police are ahead, stay
yeah.
silent.
Yep.
And they ended up being on camera by accident. They thought his camera was broken. It wasn't. And they had it on top of their
police
cruiser. And they were standing there deciding what to charge this guy with, and also
stuff up.
Yeah, they were completely making stuff up that didn't happen, and so he and the ACLU are both suing because it took him a year to finish up on all of his charges anyway. Now, OP in Boise has written in to say, it isn't shocking at all that cops do this. I was arrested back in the 1970s at a gathering when I questioned the cops searching a friend. While I was handcuffed to a table at the station, I listened to the cops discuss what they could charge me with. I ended up being charged with resisting arrest, even though they had no reason to arrest me in the first place. The judge dropped the charges.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if other people have stories like this. And if you've ever been a policeman in the past or worked for the police department, does this sort of thing happen a lot? And let us know also if it has happened to you. 336-3700. That's our local number to call, 336-3700. Outside the area, 1-800-529-5264, which is 1-800-529-KBOI, #670 on Verizon Wireless. And as always, you can send us an instant message by going through our KBOI website, KBOI.com. Here's one from Anonymous that says, cops have been doing this for decades, and it's only with the advent of modern technology that the general public is being exposed to the rampant amount of this sort of behavior by our law enforcement.
Think that's true?
That they've been, I would guess that perhaps they have. I've seen that on, you know, TV shows. I don't know about it in person. Yeah. Yeah, I'm serious. I mean, but, you know, Cops was not one of the TV shows.
No, we do not, and I have a lot of interaction.
No, we don't have a lot of interaction with police. Anne of Boise says, not shocking at all. I had a flat tire in 2012 and was arrested on a drug charge that I didn't even know anything about and had not had any type of trial and was not found guilty, but they stuck it on my record. That's kind of a strange thing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible, is it?
Not sure.
Yeah. Let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim, good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I'll try to make this as succinct. Years ago, I was going east on Overland, and I come to Vista. So Vista, the center lane, you know, you go straight, the right lane, right, the left lane, left.
Right.
So there's a stoplight. So I'm at in the center lane going straight. The light is red. In front of me is a state cop. Now, I don't know why he was in the city at the time, but a state cop. Now, the state cop had his left turn signal on as if he was wanting to get in the left turn lane. Okay, the left turn arrow comes on, and all the cars before the cop proceed. The cars behind him see his signal on, so they don't go because they think he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all sitting there stopped. Finally, our light comes on, green, and the cop starts waving out the window with his left arm, you know, to go ahead, right? He's wanting the cars in the left turn lane to proceed. Nobody's moving. I think this is ridiculous. So I go around him, get in the left turn lane, and then back into the center lane. By that time, I've got a red light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the thing finally turns green. I go across. The cop follows me, turns on his lights, pulls me over, and arrest me for doing that, for going around him.
Going straight from the wrong lane.
Right.
Yeah.
I told him I'd see him in court, so we go to court. Right off the bat, the little young prosecuting whatever he was comes out and tries to intimidate me, you know?
Really?
Yeah. He says, you know, the cop's here to be a witness. And I said, well, hunky-dory, great. So we get up there in the court. The cop, you know, does his thing, and I tell the judge what happened. Well, anyway, the judge dismisses it, and he says, you know, we want our public to obey the police officers. And so, anyway, as I'm leaving the courtroom, there were a couple of other people in the courtroom just looking at me saying, he beat him. He beat him. But, I mean, that's what happened to me.
Wow.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Jim.
Rob in Meridian says, until police are held to a higher standard when it comes to breaking the law and made to pay from their own pockets and not that of taxpayers, this kind of behavior will continue. Taking it from the police pension fund would be the best. That way every police officer would feel the need to keep each other in line. Imagine having a job that deals with the public with no consequences. That is what being in most law enforcement roles is like today. Police, DAs, ADAs, public defenders, judges, jails, and prisons, these are all branches of the same greedy and rotten tree.
Ooh.
Rob, not a big fan.
No, I'm not sure I agree with that. Gary of Caldwell. Gary. Whoop, hang on a sec. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
But I want to point out, of all the vast video cameras out there, all over the nation, okay, and all the police officers making tens of thousands of stops a day, we're talking about one somewhere else. So these things can't happen that often. I've been pulled over by police officers, and it's been my fault when I've been pulled over. I'll tell you what, they're a hardworking group of people. They're human. They're not perfect. There are some who are even bad, but very few. Most of them are good, hardworking people trying to defend us. I know because I have police officers in my family. I have a son-in-law who's he's in the military right now, an MA, and he wants to eventually be a police officer out in the public. I'm proud of our police officers, and I just want to get that lick in.
Okay.
Well, that's
but,
good.
But as far as you're concerned, though, this isn't something that happens a lot. It just when it does happen, it's blown out of proportion.
Right. When you're talking about tens of thousands of these. Probably, there's probably 10,000 cars pulled over right now in this country. Okay? And so we have something we're talking about in another state. It makes
that
some big deal.
I'm sorry, but... Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, but so the police officers were acting inappropriate. They are human, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but they are.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Gary.
Well, I mean, but the fact here, though, is they were breaking a law by trying to figure out something to charge the guy with.
Exactly.
They were breaking the law by telling each other now, you know, we have to have the same story that people were saying a guy was waving a gun, which he wasn't.
No.
And then the third way that they broke the law, as we mentioned earlier, is that police have an obligation, according to the laws of the state of Connecticut, that if they see a violation of civil rights performed by a police officer, they have to try to make him stop or let him know or her let them know that they're not supposed to be doing that. And if they keep doing it, you're supposed to turn them in at some point,
which makes all three of them guilty.
My guess is that there are a lot of police officers that will not turn in another police officer.
Oh, I think I agree with that. Nonetheless, glad we have them. KBOI News Time, 9:16. KBOI News Time, 9:20. Our KBOI rewards code is, Chris, compound word?
Checkpoint.
Checkpoint. C-H-E-C-K-P-O-I-N-T, one word. Go to 670kboi.com, enter checkpoint, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. All right, go ahead.
I got an instant message quickly here from Billy of Boise. He says, a friend of mine moved to Seattle and still lives there after the Garden City police took him to jail, beat him in his cell all weekend, did not contact his wife and kids, so they had no idea what happened for 3 days. The reason he was arrested was for slipping on the ice on his truck, and he fell on the officer when the officer told him to get out. It was a complete accident. The cop got up swinging his billy club. This happened long ago when those police were out of hand in Garden City, and shortly after that, the ombudsman was brought in here in Boise. I could write a book on police wrongdoing, but I wouldn't dare. That's Billy of Boise, no last name listed.
Well, yeah, and we don't know if that's true or not.
No.
But sounds a little suspicious to me. Let's go to Kemble of Eagle. Kemble.
Yes.
Yes, you're on.
Okay, here a few years ago, I had a rental, and my renter had moved out.
Mm-hmm.
When she moved out, we went in and was cleaning it up. Well, she had back to the house, want her deposit. We had discussed the deposit with her, and she got mad, so she started hitting my wife. My wife is on the floor.
Really?
Videoing this whole thing. She keeps hitting the phone out of my wife's hand and broke the phone. And you see me in the background pacing back and forth. I don't know what to do. She ends up going outside to call the police or her brother, and I tried to hold her out. It's my house.
Right.
Her contract's up, my house. Police came and tried to arrest me and my wife. We had to go to a jury trial, and they claimed that we had beat her, and we have it all on video, and I had to go to a complete jury trial, and they tried to get my wife for disturbing the peace. It was in our house. We had video of her beating on my wife, and we had to go to a jury trial to defend ourselves.
What happened in the trial?
Well, we won the whole trial.
Sure,
the
sure.
juror got
okay.
mad and threw it out. When they finally, the prosecutor, we told my wife told the prosecutor, you need to watch the tape. She said, I don't have to watch the tape. You're criminals, and you're being better than you deserve.
Really?
She would never push play. She refused. When the juror did it, they got mad, and it got thrown out.
Wow.
So that was 3 years ago. Today I got to go to another jury trial because they hadn't. I had a warrant for my arrest, so I turned myself in, but I didn't pull over in the car. They go to jail. There was totally dropped charges. There is no charge on me right now. And I have to go to a jury trial because I called my wife while I was in jail. And they're saying, yeah, but you did a crime. You called your wife. But I didn't do a crime, so I shouldn't have been in jail. And I have to go to a jury trial now.
It's a crime to call your wife while you're in jail?
They claimed I couldn't do it. Yep.
Wow.
And they're trying to, because they're claiming the original charge, the police had came out because I take painkillers. And my wife didn't want me driving the vehicle on the painkillers because we got into a little argument. She wanted them to say, have basically do a test.
Sure.
They did come out and say I shouldn't be driving. So that was fine. But they left. 2 months later, they pressed battery charges on me. Nobody wrote a report. Nobody wrote nothing. There was no claim of anybody abusing anyone. They ended up dropping all that because there was no evidence. But because of that, I had a warrant for my arrest, so I thought, okay, well, I'll turn myself in because I got to get this done. I don't want to be sneaking around hiding and get arrested driving down the road with my kids in the car. So I turned myself in. They left me in there for 2 days and refused to give me my painkillers, and I need them. I'm crippled. They would not give me my painkillers. I was in there for 2 days, and they would not let me make a phone call. When I finally made the phone call, I said, told my wife, you have to come and bail me out. And I got to go to a jury trial over it.
Wow.
And I can prove every inch of this.
Okay, good stuff, Kimball. Yeah. Thank you.
And Billy wrote back. Billy wrote back to say, every word was true. I would swear on a stack of Bibles.
Okay.
So that's fine. Here's
one Bible would be enough.
We got to go to a break here in about 30 seconds, but Don says, it sounds shocking to anyone who hasn't previously encountered this kind of behavior.
True.
I was rather amazed to hear the cops trying to figure out what trumped-up charge they were going to charge me with, too. It was obvious they did it all the time. They were so casual about it that they didn't even consider the fact that I was a witness to this behavior. The whole situation was ludicrous. I spent 3 days in jail as an accessory to a moving violation in a car in which I was asleep in the back seat when the driver allegedly went 5 miles over the speed limit. But that was more than five decades ago, before video cams.
You know, it's amazing. You jump to that movie scene.
Yeah.
Hey, I can hear you. I can hear you over here. It's 9:26.
You know I can hear you, right?
Yeah.
Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Nine 37, Paul, Jay, and Chris talking about, we started talking about three police officers in Cincinnati who fabricated charges.
Connecticut. Actually.
Connecticut, yeah. Fabricated charges against a West Hartford man who stood on the median with a sign that said, police ahead, be quiet.
And he was a well-known annoyance to police in that he protested a lot of things they did. And he, was in contact with the ACLU about unlawful DUI checkpoints and things like that. So he's at a DUI checkpoint, or actually down the road from one, holding up a sign to warn people that up ahead there is a DUI checkpoint. And while he's doing this, he also has his video camera. And a policeman comes up, slaps the camera, doesn't even tell him to put down the camera, comes up and slaps it out of his hand onto the ground.
Yeah, it's not illegal, by the way, to video police.
The police officer thought the camera was broken, so he confiscated the camera, took it back.
Put it on top of the cop car.
Yeah, put it on top of the cruiser, and it's still filming, and you can hear and see the police on this tape. You can hear and see them talking about making up charges so they can arrest this guy for something.
Yeah, and they basically say he was out there waving a gun around and motorists stopped to complain.
Which he was not.
Yeah.
Bob of Boise, and we asked you, if you've had any similar experiences or know people who have, or if you've even been a police officer at some point or in the law enforcement community and know that this sort of thing goes on, or if you want to dispute it also, 336-3700. Bob of Boise says, I know a guy that was busted for having a bunch of drugs and cash, but when he got to trial, there were a lot less drugs than he actually had. submitted into evidence. In other words, something had happened to part of the evidence.
Right.
There was also half the cash missing that he had had on him. And when he tried to point it out to the judge said, so you're saying that you had even more illegal drugs in cash? And he answered yes, and then was sentenced accordingly. The missing drugs and cash were never mentioned again. How's that for justice?
Well, you know, once again, we have no proof of any of these claims.
Well, of course.
So let's go to Scotty of Meridian, Middleton. Scotty, good morning.
Good morning. Connecticut, that used to be called, with the truckers, it used to be called the communist state. And there was one time when I was going through it, I was in the scales, and this was the day back in the old 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. Mm-hmm. And they seen my radar detector, and they wanted me to assemble it. And I told the guy what to do with himself. yes, and I know another truck driver. They used to watch us coming through the scales. And they had binoculars, and they used to watch us coming in to see what we were doing in the cab. And this truck driver, he had a model of a nude, and he used to hang it up in his, you know, on the passenger side. And it used to cause some fun and games with the scale men. But didn't that not happen in Boise, Idaho? There was a policeman. Charged a guy with film. He was taking a film of this policeman in action, and only happened a couple of years ago. Did it? Was I mistaken? Anyway, guys, hey, good program. Keep up the good work.
Thanks,
have a good day.
Thanks,
you
Scotty.
Too.
Patrick of Caldwell says, "Morning, guys. The reason this is still a story is because this guy has to sue them to get anything resolved. We don't know the status."
I think that's true. I think that is true.
We don't know the status of the officers involved. We don't know what, if any, investigation has been done. In my opinion, the head of the state police is just as guilty as they are, since he or she seems to have no problem with what they did. All three of those officers should never work in law enforcement again because they have no respect for the law or the Constitution, as they tried to figure out a way to manufacture charges to deprive someone of his constitutional rights just because they didn't like the legal activity he was engaged in. Sad story, but certainly not unique.
And yeah, and we checked, and we can't find out if the officers are still working there. Nobody knows. And it did happen September 11th. September 11th of last year.
2015, right.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike of Boise. Whoops. Mike, good morning.
Morning. So about 20 years ago, I was in a vehicle where we were doing coke in the front seat, chopping it up on a mirror. A police car rolled up behind us, so we shoved everything underneath the driver's seat, or we thought.
Yeah.
The officer gets out. As he's getting out, we get out of the car, and my friend says, lock the door. So I lock the door. We get out of the car. The officer shines his light into the car, sees what had fallen off the mirror, tries to get into the car, and he goes, I noticed you locked your keys in the car.
Uh-oh.
And we're like, oh, darn.
Uh-oh.
And he says, I'll be back in 30 minutes. If you're still here, we're going to do some talking. So not all stories end badly.
Did you bust the window and get out of there?
No, he had a spare key in his pocket.
Oh, well, that's also good.
Oh, my goodness. Lucky.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I do not condone the use of drugs in vehicles.
No.
Gotcha.
No, gotcha. All right. Thanks, Mike. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I like that story.
So had a change of life since then.
Yeah.
William of Garden City says, earlier this year, I was driving down Chinden. I was in the number 2 lane. There was a car and a truck in the number 1 lane beside me. There was a Garden City officer on a traffic stop along the side of the road. Seeing him, I moved as far to my left as I could when I passed by him. About a mile later, I have lights behind me and I was pulled over. The officer said that I failed to move over as the law requires for his safety.
It is the law, by the way.
When I said there was traffic in the other lane, he said no, the other lane was clear. He didn't cite me. I think because he saw my county ID, but had he done so, there is no way I could have defended myself in court. It would have been my word against his.
And they can't convict you on that, can they?
I think they can, actually.
I don't think so.
If it's your word against the policeman's. The interesting thing about this story for me, my dad has probably been pulled over one time in his entire life. And it was for the same situation where he was going down the highway and there were two lanes. There was a policeman that had somebody pulled over and he, you know, was trying to get over, couldn't do it because the other lane was full. And so he got down the road a little ways. Same thing. The policeman came after him and told him the same thing. My dad says, no, I couldn't get over. I know I'm supposed to. I tried to get over because, you know, and he taught driver's ed, remember?
Right.
You know, I know I'm supposed to get over, but I couldn't because there was somebody right there in the other lane. And the policeman said, no, there wasn't. So what do you do at that point?
Go to court.
I guess.
Yep. Let's go to Rob of Nampa. Rob, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Yeah, I'd like to encourage everybody to go on YouTube and type in Paul Harvey, the policeman. Listen to that before you continue to complain about these imperfect policemen out there that are just trying to pick it home every night.
Okay.
Yeah,
Paul Harvey, the policeman.
Paul Harvey, the policeman. All right, we'll do it. Thanks, Rob. Yeah, and as I've said several times this morning, I'm glad we have the police. I think most police are honest. I know a lot of people have problems with police. Some parts of some of these stories and some of these stories are probably true, but
we don't know for sure.
We don't know for sure. There's no way we can prove them.
Now, we're not by any means anti-police. However, I think both of us are if you're unconstitutionally charged with something that wasn't happening, we are against that.
Yep. KBOI News Time, 9:46.
Donald Trump Jr. is set to arrive in Boise in just a few hours for a fundraiser. Details coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
All right, we are back, 9:51. We had a listener call a few minutes ago and suggest we listen to Paul Harvey's policeman, so let's listen together.
Policeman. A policeman is a composite of what all men are, I guess, a mingling of saint and sinner, dust and deity. What that really means is that they are exceptional, they are unusual, they are not commonplace. Buried under the froth is the fact, and the fact is that less than 0.5% of policemen misfit that uniform, and that is a better average than you'd find among clergymen. What is a policeman? He of all men is at once the most needed and the most wanted. A strangely nameless creature who is sir to his face and pig or worse behind his back. He must be such a diplomat that he can settle differences between individuals so that each will think he won. But if a policeman is neat, he's conceited. If he's careless, he's a bum. If he's pleasant, he's a flirt. If he's not, he's a grouch. He must make instant decisions which would require months for a lawyer. But if he hurries, he's careless. If he's deliberate, he's lazy. He must be first to an accident, infallible with a diagnosis. He must be able to start breathing, stop bleeding, tie splints, and above all, be sure the victim goes home without a limp. The police officer must know every gun, draw on the run, and hit where it doesn't hurt. He must be able to whip two men twice his size and half his age without damaging his uniform and without being brutal. If you hit him, he's a coward. If he hits you, he's a bully. The policeman from a single human hair must be able to describe the crime, the weapon, the criminal, and tell you where the criminal is hiding. But if he catches the criminal, he's lucky. If he doesn't, he's a dunce. He runs files and writes reports until his eyes ache to build a case against some felon who will get dealed out by a shameless Seamus. The policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
All right, that's Paul Harvey, the policeman.
I mean, it is. That's very sympathetic, and all those things are true. I don't think any of them necessarily are an excuse to make up charges when it's against the law, which is what we're talking about in Connecticut. But yeah, policing is a tough job. It is. And part of the, one of the toughest things about it is probably the fact that you are not allowed to break the law, even if you're going to, even if it's going to have a good result, like catching somebody who needs to be taken off the road.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean,
not sure where he got the statistic of 0.5%, but, you know,
yeah,
it's good. It makes you think about things from a policeman's point of view.
It certainly does.
And they're not the highest paid individuals out there.
Oh, not by a long shot.
Nope.
Dave of Boise says, the last time I was pulled over in my Dodge 2500 pickup, it was for no seatbelt. I had a gray shirt on that matched my seatbelt exactly.
Yeah.
The seatbelt is built into the seat, so there is no way the cop could have seen if it was on or not. He then hassled me about no mud flaps. There were at least three other trucks that passed us that were higher than mine and no flaps. Plus, I have fender flares, and I thought I was in compliance with the law. It was my word against the officers. I got the ticket for no seatbelt, which I was wearing, but released it to reach over for my registration after I was stopped and the motor turned off. He let the mud flap go. I now have mud flaps. So that's Dave of Boise.
I got, you know, when they were cracking down on seatbelts, but they couldn't stop you. They could not stop you for a seatbelt violation. They had to stop you for something else.
Yeah.
And then notice that you had no seatbelt on or whatever. Right. And I got pulled over on 4th Street.
Yeah.
And the guy pulled me over for doing 23 miles an hour in a 20-mile-an-hour zone. Just so he could give me a ticket for not having my seatbelt on. And he let the charge go once he got me stopped. Legally, by the way. That's my story.
I like it.
Something to think about with Mike Rogers is next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out at boisechurch.org. See you tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Let's say you're in the giving spirit. It comes over you that you want to make a difference. You pony up several million dollars to a foundation that has ties to the U.S. Secretary of State. If you happen to have business before the Secretary of State, why, that's just coincidence. Middle East countries, Russian mining interests, personally paid speaking engagements around foundation donations, it all reads like an international intrigue novel. All in the name of charity, of course. Not fair, cry the Democrats. Nothing to see here. This is just politics. The problem is, it isn't politics. It's math. IRS filings show that in 2014, the Clinton Foundation had less than 6% of all donations go to charitable grants. Novelist Jack London said, "A bone to a dog is not charity. Charity is the bone shared with a dog when you're equally hungry." Sounds like all the dogs in these deals did just fine, except the dog that needed the charity. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.